Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I am good. My little crusty morning voice, but it'll warm up.
Have you got a nice crusty hot cross bun with you, or are you just...
No, I don't. We did it a couple weeks ago. I tried those apple cinnamon ones.
Yum, that sounds good. Nice. That sounds really good.
I didn't make it. I bought it.
Oh, you bought them. Also, respect that as well. Sometimes life's too short, you know. We are talking about skiffle this morning. What is skiffle, Kirsten?
Well, I hope you like the music. I don't know. It's more of this story of it's so important, almost outside of the music. So it literally is sort of what people would call jug band music, where you use like kazoos, a bass made out of a tea chest, maybe acoustic guitar, a washboard. It's homemade instruments.
Yeah.
And it was a 1920s sort of jug band thing in America among African Americans, right? And for some reason back then it was just all called jazz, but it's actually called jug bands now. But here's the weird thing. It became really popular in England in the 50s among young people before rock and roll.
Okay. I can't really imagine being like, hey guys, it's Friday night, let's just grab out the old washboard and have a party. But
they literally did. It was the coolest, hippest thing. They had up to 200 bands, skiffle bands in Liverpool alone.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, actually.
And here's the weird part of the story. One of the bands had a young John Lennon in it who had formed a band with his mates.
That's right.
Called the Quarrymen.
That's right. I forgot about that. That whole weird little skiffle era of John Lennon's career there. That's right, the Quarrymen. That's so interesting. So was it quite Liverpudlian then in the UK?
No, it was all over. It was all over. But Liverpool obviously had a huge, having 200, but there's supposedly 500 bands in the country. But people felt because it was, they hadn't quite had rock yet. So this had that rock sort of drive, right, of early rock and roll and that American rootsness. But anyone could play it, right? You could just make your instruments and
DIY
do it yourself.
I'm gonna hit the first track.
Okay, this is Lonnie Donegan. This is one of the iconic ones. He
We've
does some chatting.
We've had a text in, Kirsten, from someone who said there's a clip of Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin as a young teen in a skiffle band in the 1950s.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
On from UK TV. That's so the last person I'd expect. You gotta pay the man some money. But, of course, if you've got certain things on board, you're okay. You don't have to pay the man nothing. And just now we see a train, she coming down the line. And when she come up near the toll gate, the driver, he shout down to the man. He say, I got pigs, I got horses, I got cows, I got sheep, I got all livestock, I got all livestock, I got all livestock. And the man say, well, you're all right, boy, just get on through, you don't have to pay me nothing. Now, Lonnie Donegan is a bit of a legend. Who is Lonnie Donegan, Kirsten?
Well, so he, so he's a British guy, obviously obsessed with sounding American here, like he was riding the old trains. And he had this hit with this song, Rock Island Line. You're talking about Pig Iron here. I had to literally go look up Pig Iron because nobody knew what it was. It's little chunks of crude iron that people think look like piglets.
Oh, okay.
So this was like
a stretch, maybe.
I know. So this was like a 1920 song that actually was first recorded by a prison gang singing it.
Okay, right.
And was a big hit for Lead Belly. And then, so Lonnie Donegan had a big hit with this in 1956, and it literally, hit the charts in the UK and in the States. It sold millions of copies.
I've got to say, I'm familiar with this, I think, from my grandmother's record collection.
Yeah.
I didn't know I knew this song until we were playing it. And then I'm like, no, this is ringing some deep childhood bells in my brain here. ABCWXYZ gets on a cover, but he don't see me. You can actually hear how rock and roll comes out of this, though.
Yes, and because this was before Elvis had hit England, this was kind of their version of it. And this was a local act. This wasn't Elvis and this wasn't Little Richard. This was a local British act. And so it was like a huge impact.
Nice. Bit of washboard at the end there. What's this next track we're listening to now? Don't You Rock Me Daddy-O.
Now me and my wife went to town. Well, we went to buy a $10 gown.
This was produced by George Martin.
Was it actually? There's so many unlikely people. Although maybe they are likely. Maybe I need to reframe how I'm thinking about this.
Maybe well, that's it right.
Makes
no,
sense
he's
that they all were into this.
This is well, it doesn't. But it, I mean, this was British rock. So apparently, there's you know David Bowie recalls playing these songs at, at camp.
Sounds wild.
And yeah, Brian May talks about it. Roger Daltrey talks about it. And apparently, Jack White. When he got a Brit Awards not long ago, he said, remember, Lonnie Donegan started it for you. So this is British rock. I guess the same way that there might be elements of bluegrass and country and western and in rockabilly, right? In American roots music. This is sort of British version. Rock. But obviously it's not their roots music either. They're just
borrowing it as well.
Yeah. So young this people is the, fascinated.
Yeah. This is the Vipers skiffle group. And the kind of like borrowing of Americana is pretty strong in this. Vipers. There's not many Vipers in the UK, I think. And so the other thing about skiffle is it sounds like there's a lot of kind of like standard songs that people do. Is that right?
Yeah, part of the authenticity is to play one of the sort of old classics. And sometimes they would like revise the words or, you know, update the tune and stuff. But yeah, you played like standards, classic standards. Although, like, I think sometimes they would revise the words enough that they'd get their own writing credits for it.
Okay.
You know, music.
Music.
Now, just back to Lonnie Donegan. His next hit after Rock Island Line was Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Every Night? Some people might remember that.
I do remember that, and actually. This is so weird. I didn't realize I actually knew about skiffle from my childhood. But yeah, both of those songs are deep in the back of my psyche, Kirsten.
Well, then his next one was My Old Man's a Dustman, which was another one people might know.
And I think people probably would know that one. That's quite famous.
Okay, we got a female vocalist here, Hilda Sims, with the City Ramblers. You can really hear the washboard.
Yeah.
I wish I had a needle, I wish I had a thread, I wish I had a raisin pay, I reckon I'm a friend.
This is like a union song, basically. Round and round the picket line.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I chose it, because I'm... You know, a lot of that Woody Guthrie, that sort of American folk, was super communist and stuff back then.
Yeah.
And it was about workers, you know, railroad lines and that sort of stuff. And I guess, like you said, that DIY thing. So this is something that British youth could just pick up and, you know, and so there was sort of a class thing, right? I mean, talking about Liverpool.
Working class town.
Yeah. Was pretty short in existence, you know, basically like mid-50s to 59.
Yeah.
When sort of actual rock and roll started to take over.
And people are like, oh, that's a bit more what we want. Yeah. Although I've got to say, skiffle's fun. I think it's fun as.
Well, yeah, and I think that was why it took off, because anyone could do it, you know.
Yeah.
And to have hundreds of bands, that is such a organic grassroots movement, you know. That's not one or two, you know, hit bands controlling everything. That's just everybody making it themselves.
Yeah, totally. And in that like true folk tradition of passing songs on to each other and like collective messaging and that sort of stuff as well.
Yep.
Is this a UK group?
Yep. Yep.
The kind of American accents are a bit jarring, it has to be said.
I know.
Sounded like spoons were maybe being played in that one.
Yeah, you could hear some of that mentality. So, I mean, you know, this is post-war, too. So, you know, coming out of, you know, that, well, lockdown period, right? Like what we're having now. And so all of a sudden there's this sort of slight boom in the economy, you know, so young people were out and about and, you know, able to do stuff and had a bit of cash. And so, you know, starting a band and playing music, you know, there was a space for that now. And yeah, it's just such a weird story that this weird little blip in the radar had then such impact on British rock and roll.
Totally.
You know, which then, of course, influenced everybody else.
Maybe we're all going to get back into skiffle now. Maybe that's what this lockdown period will bring out, new skiffle.
Oh, my God, you're so right. That would be hilarious. I don't know if we have washboards, but we'll have to find some more modern ways to create instruments.
Oh, somebody's texted in, lots of impromptu skiffle bands were put together to pay the rent. They had rent parties. So that sounds fun.
That's what they were in America. So apparently skiffle in America means like a rent party.
Oh, okay.
But the British just took it out of context. Yeah, so that was – thanks caller, for bringing that up. Yeah, the British sort of just took it out of context because it was a cool word. But, yeah, rent party was actually what they were in the States.
There we go.
But, yeah, maybe some of us will need that now, having
yes.
to pay rent.
Bring back skiffle, I say. Hey, thank you very much for that, Kirsten. What are you going to be bringing us next week?
Okay, we're going to go smooth. We're going to go neo-soul next week.
Fantastic. Ooh. That sounds lovely. Well, we'll talk to you then. Have a nice long weekend.
Okay.
Bye.
That was Trending Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It certainly